Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Yeah.
Are you welcome to the friendly title Danny Palmer Show? This might be a little bit too loud, so I'm turning the sound down a little bit. I'm coming to you from a monastery. Just kidding. I would never go to one of those because I think they're boring, and I gave up my religion when I was 17 years old. What's up, you Johns? Thank you for listening to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. I was getting a little angsty because the sound wasn't working properly before, so I did the old college trick of just turning your computer off and back on again, and that seemed to work just fine. But you know, like when you do a project, like a long-standing, multi-year, this is honestly, I've worked on this podcast longer than I went to college, now that I think about it, or maybe it's tied or something, but like, yeah, just over and over, like the amount of time you spend like, oh, well, this little technical thing isn't working and I don't know how to fix it, so I got to reboot everything. Like no one ever listens to those parts, you know? They just listen to the finished product and it's like, God damn it. Do I get any credit for the time when I couldn't figure out the fucking thing and the thing didn't record? Nope. Nope, you don't. I mean, I guess you do. You know, it's all effort towards the greater ultimate goal. You're painting a mountain one layer of a paint at a time, right? I actually do have some inspiring stuff. Because for the last 3 weeks, it's been interviews. Excuse me. I had a little burp there. I didn't burp into the microphone because I'm polite. And I haven't done a solo pod in a long time. My friend Lainey, she's very kind. She's always giving me nice feedback. She goes, honestly, I like it when it's just you. I'm like, thanks, Lainey. You know, I do like the mix. I like having my brother on. He's great. You know, I like having people on. It's fun. So we'll keep it mixed up a little bit. Little genre-y, as it were. As it fucking were. I don't know if you guys... basically this week I just have... I've accumulated ideas to talk about for 3 weeks now. So I have a lot of them. And if you think that I am going to spend the time and effort that it would take to organize these into some... You know, I have like four Jersey Shore references, obviously. I'm not going to like take the time to collate all of those together and put them in an order. This isn't a fucking like... Oscar winner of podcasts, dude. It's just me in my apartment on a Tuesday night wearing shorts. You know what I mean? You'll get what you get and you'll like it. Just kidding. All right. Be nice, honey. Gotta be nice to the few fans you have. All right. Thanks, sweetie. That's my girlfriend if you haven't met her. Her name is Samantha. She's not very nice. I'm nice. You're just a piece of shit. No, I'm not. You haven't fucked me in months. Whenever she talks, she makes me cough for some reason. She's a heavy smoker, my gal. I don't know if you guys saw the movie The Fugitive, the OG one with Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones. This is a great scene when Tommy Lee Jones is on the run and Harrison Ford is on the run. He's in like a waterfall cave or some shit. And Harrison Ford, God damn it, Danny. Tommy Lee Jones has a gun pointed at Harrison Ford. I don't know, dude. I don't know who's got a gun pointed, all right? If you want me to clarify which person had the gun, I think that Tommy Lee Jones as the cop was pointing a gun at Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford wanted him to know the truth because he was being chased for murder. And Harrison Ford goes, I didn't kill my wife. And Tommy Lee Jones goes, I don't care. Oh, I love that. Because it's just like the way the justice system works, right? He's out there to capture the guy and bring him to a judge. And then the judge and the jury will decide whether or not there's guilt or innocence involved. But this isn't a vigilante justice system that we have set up here. Harrison, you may not have killed your wife, but you need to come to do the court proceedings, dude. What? I feel like that might be the dumbest thing I've ever said. Moving on. All right. I just love that scene. I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. Somebody, my brother, Ben, was doing shows in Augusta, Georgia this past week. Ben was on like 2 weeks ago on the pod. And, you know, he went out in Augusta. I think his flight got delayed or something. He spent another night in Augusta. He sent me a picture like out somewhere. And it just reminded me that I went to college at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia. Okay. When I was 17 years old, I showed up on campus there. I'd never had a beer in my life. Didn't have a beer. I never drank ever before my whole life. None. Went through Rush. Somebody handed me a beer. My fraternity big brother gently and politely
And gracefully, not gracefully, like an act of kindness, I would argue, took the beer away from me and set it down because he knew that I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it. And then obviously I got completely hammered like winter quarter. We got to run the quarter system then. But, you know, I wasn't ready. And he was nice of him to do that. But then I partied. I learned how to party. Georgia taught me how to party. That's the point of that thing. There you go. No one cares where you learned how to party. All right. Well, I don't know. Kind of just talking about my life. Isn't that part of a podcast? Why would people in Germany care about it? I don't know, but they like it. I love that Germany is my number two country behind the U.S. Thanks, Germany. Like, I look at the, like, cities that listen to the pod, and, like, there's, like, multiple towns in Germany that are listening to this podcast. I don't even know what these towns are. It's, like, Bahausian, Bavar thing, Arun. I'm not being disrespectful to German towns. I'm just ignorant. I need to go.
Take me to Berlin. I'll fuck you in a nightclub.
All right, maybe I will, hen.
Thanks.
Dude, I had this work from home moment today. I was on this, it's just weird how life works, right? Because I was on this conference call on GMeet with 15 people. And then like eight of us had to like present our little sections of the call or whatever. So during my little section to present, at that moment, out of all the times of the 24/7, you know, in a week, 24 hours, seven, people know what a week is, Danny. That during that 5 minute, maybe even less than 5 minute, maybe that during that 3 minute section of time was the time that the like super knocked on my door to like work on the sink or whatever. And it's like, how does that happen? How is that even possible? Like any other, how many minutes are in a week? Whatever the number that is, subtract three. Those are the 3 minutes when the only 3 minutes all week when I would have 15 people listening to me talk. Knock, knock. What the fuck, dude? But, you know, but then my coworker, Kyle, she's really nice. She was like, well, you know, you don't have dogs or kids, and those often interrupt calls, and you never have that. So maybe you should just be grateful that that was the... And I was like, that's nice. That's a fair point. And also, maybe I should get a dog or a kid. I don't know. Pets aren't allowed in my building. It's too small. I'm 48. Here we go. Dude, I rewatched Dazed and Confused for like the umpteenth time. Don't say umpteenth, Danny. That's so corny. I'm sorry, dude. I take back... umpteenth. God damn it. I hate when people use corny phrases like that. I went to the gym today. The lady at the front desk goes, happy Tuesday. I'm like, dude, come on. I mean, you know, in her defense, she was very hot. So I said, oh, thank you. Happy Tuesday back at you, my love. But in my head, I was like, dude, happy Tuesday. You're lucky you're hot. You know what I mean? Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, phrases? I don't know. Oh, I watched Dazed and Confused for the umpteenth time. Yeah. It's so fucking funny, man. I guess O'Banion, I don't know who O'Banion is. Is that who Matthew McConaughey's character? I literally like wrote, I was probably pretty high, paused the movie to write down Dazed and Confused quotes in my phone so I could read them on the podcast so you can listen and enjoy it. If you've already seen it, when's the last time you saw it? Do you really remember all these fucking phrases, dude? O'Banion flunked his senior year so he could be a dick 2 years in a row. Is that legal? I think that is Matthew McConaughey. You know what? Being a dick 1 year wasn't enough for me. I'm flunking. And then when the redheaded girl, I forget her name, they stop by. She's driving her car, and then they're parked in this like hamburger joint parking lot, and then Matthew McConaughey pulls up, and he's like, do you want a ride? And she's like, I'm actually driving this car. I don't need a ride in a second. I'm driving a car. And then when he left, the dorks in the car were like, she was like, I don't know, I thought he was cute. And then one of them goes, do you realize when he graduated, we were like 3 years old? Oh, man. All right. That concludes my Dazed and Confused quotes. But, dude, I think it's the greatest movie of all time. I think The Graduate's up there. But The Graduate is a moral dilemma. Dazed and Confused is just kids having a fucking great time in the last day of high school in 1976. You know? And there's some depth to it. There's some, like, you know, dilemmas, and there's kind of a moral thing at the end too. Not a moral thing, like a lesson at the end, you know? But I don't know, man. It's just the greatest fucking movie, man. I love it. Okay, moving on past Dazed and Confused. I was reading this essay written by like two economics professors, and they were talking about the movie Dumb Money, where the individual stock traders were driving up GameStop stock to try to beat the system. And it just was talking about how like retail investors, as they're known, just over time, like never, they call it dumb money because they're never going to beat like, you know, thousands of professional money managers and hedge funds and investment banks and the lifelong professionals that are running each of those, you know, kinds of companies, they're going up against, and it's not that they're dumb people, it's just that they're going up against all of this, you know, collective intelligence. And they said in the article, studies have shown that individual traders somehow have the opposite of skill. They manage to do worse than they would by picking stocks at random. I just love that phrase, the opposite of skill. It's like in Billy Madison when he does the quiz bowl at the end or whatever, and the principal's like, we are all now dumber for having heard that. Yeah, that's fun for me. Okay. I saw this bumper sticker not far from where I live. It said, too dumb for New York City, too ugly for LA. I was like, wow, that is applying to me perhaps. I don't know. No, I'm not dumb.
Don't degrade yourself, hon. You're doing pretty good.
Thanks, sweetie. I don't know how you got Southern all of a sudden.
Well, I'm from Alabama.
Alabama. All right, here we go. Okay, here's one of the Jersey Shore ones. There's this little montage that they do on Angelina because she says that she's very passionate, and then they just put like in red lettering, passionate with parentheses around it, and then do this montage of times when she just like is flying off the fucking handle. She's like driving down the road and yelling at another driver. She's like, "You fucking grandma bitch!" Passionate. But dude, I love it because that can be applied to all of us, you know? We all have our, like, self-descriptors that are likely not very accurate, and our close friends could easily pull up 4 to 5 examples of how we are not the thing that we say that we are, which is why I love the dynamic of friends busting balls and chopping it up, because it's great, you know? Nobody is above it. Like, the producers that made the passionate montage for Angelina, they've got their own little foibles and flaws that I'm sure that their friends could point out to them, which is probably what helps make them good at finding at doing it for other people. You know, it's like no one is exempt. No one is above the ball busting. Like, I think that's part of what makes a healthy society and healthy friend groups is the sense of humility and universality to being imperfect. I love that shit. We were hanging out in a group with my comedian friend, Malia Simon. It was like, I don't know, it was probably like 8 of us, like Ryan DeCarlos, Caroline Haynes, great comics, sitting at this, like, around this table. And I was just talking to Malia right before she got up to leave or something. I just said something stupid. It wasn't even what I'm about to say. It was just kind of dumb. And they were about to leave, and I was like, oh, sorry, guys. I was too busy flirting with Malia. And she goes, oh, is that what that was? See? Busting balls. It's great. Malia was actually on the pod, like, fucking 2 years ago or some shit, man. Wow.
Time flies and you're a loser, Danny.
I'm not a loser. Yes, you are. All right, fine. I was talking to somebody this past weekend. I'm like, you know, comedians oftentimes date comedians, or a lot of them are single. But I'm like, I think the move as a comic would be to date someone who is in the arts but not in comedy, like a ballerina. And then somebody was like, well, a lot of ballerinas have eating disorders. And I'm like, okay, well, not all of them do, right? And are you supposed to rule out dating any people that have, like, eating disorders that they're... I don't know. Well, maybe I shouldn't talk about this. I don't fucking know. I'm just like, well, I mean, there's no group of people that are exempt from issues. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that...
Honey, you better stop talking about this. You're getting in over your head.
All right, fine. I'm still interested in finding a ballerina. Oh, and this is fun. This girl in Scottsdale, I don't know if she wants me to say her name, she was giving me feedback on the pod. It was when I was on Julia's podcast. Oops. And she was talking about me. And I like how she kind of grouped me and Julio and Francis Ellis when they used to co-host Oops the Podcast. She goes, you and Julio and Francis all have that kind of dry but sweet sense of humor. I said that to Julio. He's like, has she seen your act, bro? It's like so innocent, but it's so funny that it's so innocent. Like, Oops the Pod is never inappropriate. It's so sweet and kind of refreshing to just see, like, honest, fun humor going around. Yeah, that's what I'm going for, man. Honest, fun humor with some cum jokes mixed in, you know? She continues, but also some people who don't have that sense of humor might think you're being so serious about chapstick, and that kills me. Because I want my good vibes videos about, it's sick to, like, brush your teeth late at night and then put on chapstick. It's very smooth. Have some, like, blue star lights in your bathroom and then put on chapstick after you brush your teeth. Dude, it's sick. Anyway, I don't know if that was worth reading. Maybe? Is that something? Does that count? It's content.
It's fucking content.
Yeah, she's just saying it's kind of like the Jersey Shore thing I was saying about. Like, it's kind of a slight love roast, but it's cute and not mean, you know? It's just being kind of roasty, mean, with an undercurrent and a like a bed of love beneath the roasty, like zing kind of, not zingers, but like, I don't know, just like busting balls. The layer of love beneath busting balls makes for the ideal life to me. You know, like this corporate America shit, it's like you're supposed to like be a Stepford wife 24/7, 365, and did everybody have a great weekend? Happy Tuesday. Oh, the rain is hopefully going to let up soon. Like, okay, dude, is that who we are? Is that who we actually all are? Like, we're fucking human beings with struggles and pains and triumphs and joy and sorrow and family history and personal history. And like, we're not just like automatrons seeking to comply with all potential HR rules at all times. Like, we're fucking human beings, you know? Doesn't mean you have to be like inappropriate at work and talk about sex or anything, but you can still like just be a real person, you know? It's fun to just chop it up a little bit. That's why I like running my little trivia thing that I do at my job. Play trivia Friday, 3 o'clock. It's fun. Just on like an app, you know, on Slack. And the trash talking is encouraged, but keep it clean. Also, it's good to, I like the, that there are limits on the trivia that you can play on Poly. If you have Slack at your work and you get the Poly app and you get the trivia, it's really fun. And like, it's good to have limits when you're trying to be funny, when you're trying to like chop it up, you know? Because if you didn't have those limits and you could just say whatever, it could arguably be less funny than if you had the limits. Limits make for good content at times. All right, next comment. Fuck around and find out, dude. That's my new favorite phrase. I know it's an older phrase. I love that phrase, though. Fuck around and find out. It's just fun to say. I kind of want to make that the title of the episode, but I feel like that has a swear word in it. And I've listed my podcast as clean, and I don't know if that would fly, you know? I don't know. Oh, I don't know if this translates out of context, but one more Jersey Shore thing. There's this guy, Uncle Nino. He's like this older guy that used to party with them back in the day during the original Jersey Shore. And then he comes and visits them when they're in like the Poconos. And I guess he's like this just drunken guy in his 50s. I guess it's like me in 8 years or something. Eight. And then he does this like, you know, talking head to the camera. And he goes, back in Cincy, I was 12 years old. I used to play ping pong every fucking day.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
I want to make that a meme. I used to play ping pong every fucking day. Maybe that should be the title of this episode. Who's to say? Okay, now to some actual content that isn't Jersey Shore quotes. Brad Stolberg, I forget who he is, but he's often in the Farnham Street newsletter that I read every Sunday morning. Afternoon, let's be honest. He said, the goal of adulthood is to skillfully engage with change. Whoa, that's pretty goddamn good, isn't it? I think a lot of people think that, or there's a tendency in society to think, okay, go to high school, get a job, or go to college and get a job, whatever level of schooling you get to, and then go work, and okay, I'm done learning, now I'm just going to do a job, and then I'm going to retire and like sit on the beach. It's like, things are always going to be changing at all times. So you've always got to be learning to adapt to that, which is why I like to read all the time. I think the more you read, the smarter you get, and then, I don't know. That's the end of that comment. Just let this die. Sorry. I guess, would that be fun or not if I just like had an idea and then ran out of things to say about the idea and then it just got real quiet for like 3 minutes and people are like, do we turn this off now, I guess? It's like, I guess he's just done talking, dude. A little weird, man. Wow, your pod's not really blowing up. You just become quiet 18 minutes in, dude.
Well, I don't know. I'm not really. I got a lot to learn. All right, yeah.
I left that little sound in at the end there. It was kind of irrelevant, but I was like, you know what? I'm leaving the sound in. It's fun. Okay. Oh, here's a fun little tale. So apparently back in the day, in the Dizzy, the Rolling Stones had Lynyrd Skynyrd open up for them. And the Rolling Stones had a stage set up where there was like a main stage where you would play, and then they had a tongue like going out into the audience. And they told Lynyrd Skynyrd, like, do whatever you want, just please just don't go out onto the tongue, because that's kind of like the Rolling Stones thing. And then you know what Lynyrd Skynyrd did? They went out on the tongue. Shit like that is so funny to me. Oh man, you see the Rolling Stones, are they in the fucking tongue, dude? Jesus Christ. Did you know this? This is kind of interesting. Ed Norton apparently is the 12th great grandchild of, you guessed it, Pocahontas. What? Is he Native American? Didn't know that, dude. I don't know if y'all heard about this, but apparently there's a bunch of people on the Tonight Show that are complaining about Jimmy Fallon. I guess he drinks a lot and maybe isn't a nice boss sometimes or something. I just thought this kind of interesting that they interviewed, who was this, what magazine interview? I think it was like was it Rolling Stone? Variety? New York Magazine? Something, dude. Esquire? this magazine got a scoop. And they interviewed one of the employees. He said, it's a bummer because it was my dream job. Writing for late night is a lot of people's dream jobs, and they're coming into this, and it becomes a nightmare very quickly. It's sad that it's like that, especially knowing that it doesn't have to be that way. Man. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't work at The Tonight Show. They wouldn't have me. But just, it's interesting. You know, you watch something on TV, and you're like, oh, that's nice. And, I mean, they did say in the article that Jimmy Fallon's really, like, talented and funny. And, you know, I'm sure he has, like, two, like, nice little daughters. Like, he can't be the worst person in the world, you know? But the perception that people put on TV versus what actually happens in their day-to-day life, very different things, potentially, you know, just like on Instagram, okay? Also, I thought this was kind of interesting. I know that Aaron Rodgers snapped his Achilles heel like a month ago and already had surgery and stuff, but I read this little synopsis of the situation. This happened in like the first game of the Jets season, if you're not into football. They said in terms of actual game time, Rodgers played for a total of 1 minute and 34 seconds before the clock was stopped following his injury, or 94 seconds total. That means he will be paid about $399,000 per second of game time he saw, or nearly $24 million for that first minute alone. Oh, man, that sucks, dude. But then I was thinking, like, well, how much value, like, obviously he's getting paid a shit ton of money. He's going to, like, kind of slightly coach, I guess, all season. Like, how much value does that actually add to have an experienced leader like that, you know, giving you advice? Or I feel like for the first, if I was him, I'd be like all in for the first like 3 weeks. Be like, come on, you guys. But then if the Jets were starting to tank, which I don't know if they're going to or not, but I think they just lost to the Chiefs, I'd be like, all right, you know what? Fuck this, dude. I'm just going to, on Sundays, I'm going to like lay in my bed and like smoke weed. And then I hope you guys do well, but like, I'm over it, bro. Also learned this about the value of gold because of the Robert Menendez trial. A kilogram of gold is worth about $62,000 today, according to live price tracking site goldprice.org. That makes sense. That's, I would think of all the names of sites that might track the price of gold, gold price would be right up there, .org. Goldprice.com is taken. A kilogram of silver is worth about $760. Dude, that is a dramatic difference. I mean, you always think like, oh, gold's worth more than silver, but how much more? Apparently a lot fucking more. More than $100,000 in gold were found at, this is what I think Robert Menendez, a New Jersey senator, were found at his home, according to the indictment. In March 2022, Nadine Menendez, I guess that's his wife, sold 2 1-kilogram bars to a jeweler. Dude, how fucking corrupt are you if you're a senator and your wife is selling gold bars, dude? That's like super corrupt. How are gold bars even a fucking thing, dude? Is this fucking Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? By the way, I watched that for the first time this past weekend. Pretty goddamn good. It was a much more like calm and like pleasant movie than I thought it was going to be, you know? Raindrops keep falling on my head. That's the end of the singing and continuing on. I also read this little article. This is wrapping up soon. This is going on too long and I'm getting tired. You know what? I'm going to save the rest of this for the next time. All right, I'll read this last thing. There's this song, and it's a crazy song. Oh, let me just read this little article. It's a safe bet that no one will say, play it again, Sam, at New York University's Paulson Center today. The assignment for the 24 pianists who will be there is not to play a short piece once, but to play it a total of 840 times. The piece is not As Time Goes By from Casablanca. I don't know why they would reference that song. I don't know what that song is. It's Vexations, written in the 1890s by the French composer Eric Satie. Sati Sati. All right. Some dude named Eric. He specified that it was to be repeated 840 times. He did not explain the significance of the number or why he preferred it to say 839 times. What in the fuck, dude? That is disturbingly long. I don't want to go to that, you know? 840? Dude, that sucks. Why would they agree to do that? Just because some dude... I mean, this guy was in the fucking 1890s? This guy's a fucking idiot. I don't agree with that. All right. I just thought they're like inspiring stuff, but... Oh, here. I'll leave you on this inspiring thing. From Liam Neeson. I heard him on a podcast recently. I think he's on Conan O'Brien's podcast. And he was talking about like that happiness is not like a state that he seeks out. He goes, happiness is a transitory state. I strive for contentment. I like that. I'm trying to think about that more, you know? Okay. You don't have to be happy all the time, but can you be content? If you're content, you're spending probably more time thinking about the things that you have and the gratitude that you have for those things and people than you are about the things that you don't have. Versus happiness, you might be happy if you win a new car and the price is right, you know? Let's just shift on over to contentment. Are you done recording your podcast? You're alone. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Fuck you, dude. All right, thank you for listening to The Danny Palmer Show. You can follow me on Instagram, Danny Palmer NYC. And, you know, come out to Black Hat LES every Friday, 9 o'clock, 172 Rivington on the Lower East Side in Manhattan, New York. And if you don't live here, come visit. I'll be at New York Comedy Club this weekend and going to be doing Coastal Creative in November 10th and 11th in St. Petersburg, Florida, home of the Tampa Bay Rays, who lost their first game of the playoffs today, opening for Giulio Gallerati. You can buy tickets on notgiulio.com, which is NOTJULIO. All right, there we go. Thank you for listening, you fucking Jones. I appreciate it. Now go fuck me in a Berlin nightclub. All right, sweetie, you got it.